Have you ever given any thought to the notion of remembering and how we can use it to help us, to build us up, and to progress our businesses? Check out this week's episode to find out more about the power for you and your business of remembering. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Self-Sabotage to Success podcast. It is fantastic to have you here. I hope that you're doing well in whatever format your life is taking at the moment, in whatever part of the world you're in. I hope that things are manageable for you and that you are still managing to progress your business goals. Last week, I talked a lot about getting that really great daily routine in place. And this week, I have quite a different episode for you, but I really hope that that was helpful and that has given you a practical pathway to navigate these crazy times and navigate your business and keep those dreams alive. So I also wanted to say something I didn't mention last week, but meant to, was thank you so much for getting me over the 3,000 download target that I kind of had in the back of my mind. And I've managed it after just over three months of starting the podcast. So I'm thrilled. Also, last week was a fantastic week for the podcast. I've had so many shares, downloads, and listens, and I'm already nearly at 3,500 in a week. So I'm super, super happy with that. And just want to thank every one of you for the time that you spend listening and the time that I know you also spend sharing, because I often hear from new clients or other listeners who say, oh yeah, a friend told me about this podcast, a friend shared this podcast with me, or I heard about it in another group on Facebook or whatever. Sometimes a group that I have literally no connection or knowledge of. And it's fantastic to know that. And I am fully aware and grateful that when that happens, it's because someone like you has listened to my messaging and passed it on and told people what's going on my podcast and that you think it will help them and serve them. So I'm super, super appreciative of that. But as I said, today's episode is going to be slightly different. I'm going to be talking to you primarily about just one mindset tool or tip that I have for you. And as part of that description, I will be telling you a story, which, you know, bear with me, it may seem a little random or unusual or unconnected to your purpose-led business, but I want you to listen to the whole thing. And I think you're going to find some really great insights in it in terms of managing your own mindset and ways that you can buoy yourself up, especially in these tricky times. So yes, it's a different type of episode in terms of the style and the narrative, but it absolutely feeds into some of the content we've been talking about in previous episodes around remembering how your mindset can become your champion and your big helper in the day-to-day, rather than becoming something that is, or being something that is working against you. So I really look forward to digging into the content in just a moment. And before I start, I have two announcements. The first is the same as always. If you have been thinking about working with me for a while, give me a bell. We are already in February, amazingly, of 2021. And I know that there are a lot of you out there who have huge goals for this year for your business and for your own mindset and headspace. And I still have some space for one-to-one clients to take through on my 12-month program. But spaces are filling up and I do only have finite one-to-one resources, especially in 2021. So if it's something that is on the top of your to-do list, book in for that call with me today and we can see how we might work together and really push you forward in terms of your progression and your business and everything else about your life, because I really do try and provide a very holistic coaching service. I'm not really one for untangling the business strand away from the personal strand, because they are absolutely interlinked. And the second announcement is very exciting. I talked briefly about it last week. And it is that I have created a 100% brand new masterclass for you to come along to. It's going to be fantastic and filled with insights. These masterclasses that I run, I only do them about once a quarter, and they are always absolutely filled with value. And they take about an hour and a half, and there is a small charge to attending, which is £20. The link is all going to be in the show notes. And this month's masterclass is going to be held on Wednesday, the 10th of February at 7 p.m. GMT, which, if you're in the States, is 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're anywhere else, ping me an email and I'll tell you when it is, or you can use a translator online. But I would absolutely love to have you come along. And the name of the masterclass is 3 Mindset Shifts to Banish Self-Sabotage and Procrastination so you can finally skyrocket your business success. And I am super excited about this masterclass. I've been working on it since the beginning of the year, and I have really tried to make sure that I am giving away so much value in it and really also letting you see the kind of things that I work with my clients on, the kind of transformations we get together, and give you a taste up really for what working with me is all about. As I said, the link will be in the show notes. It's not the normal Calendly link, it's a special link for the masterclass, and that will take you to the place where you can book your space. Now, as I said, I only run these once every quarter, and I also keep numbers low. I don't want a masterclass with 30, 40 people on it. I want a small number of people so that there is time for everyone to ask questions at the end and for us to have a really intimate, connected session together. So I would absolutely love to see you there, and I wanted to let you know of that now. I'll be talking about that on my social media, and I'll be sending emails out to any of you who are on my email list. If you'd like to be on my email list, by the way, the quickest way of doing that and hearing about all the things that I'm doing is to download one of my guides. And those are also in the show notes. So please feel free to do that, which will also mean you then get an email reminder about booking your place on the masterclass. So without further ado, let's get on to the topic of today's podcast episode. And it's all about utilizing a super simple tool that we all have, that we already use in some ways, and that is at our fingertips or our brain tips for using whenever we see fit. And it's about remembering, and how something as simple as remembering can really transform your mindset and your business when it's used intentionally, and when you take time in your day to remember things which can help you grow. So something I talk to clients about a lot, and often one of the very first questions I might ask them is how they use their memories and whether they use their memories to help them. And some clients say that they already do this a bit, but mostly I think they would say they hadn't really thought about it, or they don't do it enough, or that they can sometimes go the other way and dwell on negatives or less than positive memories when they kind of go into that zone of thinking about the past. So in today's episode, I want to talk to you about getting your fabulous brain and your amazing memories that you've got in your head that have already happened working for you. And this is called positive reminiscence in the positive psychology world. And all that is, that sort of slightly overly academic sounding name, is a way of using your past and using your past experiences to make yourself feel something good in the moment. So identifying the most pleasant and the most positive memories that we can, and then using them as a mental technique that is really no more complicated or difficult to do than just going in and remembering. So we use our brains like this all the time, because when we remember something, we play a big part in that. Memory is constructive. But before I studied psychology, before I studied memory and processing and attention and all these complicated scientific constructs, I probably just assumed, like many people, that our memories were laid there just kind of inactive or passive almost, and you just went in and picked them out, that you kind of go in and you choose whichever memory, or your mind chooses that memory for you if it's piqued by a smell or a song or another person's comment, and you kind of feel it rain over you. Or an analogy I like to use is you go into the video lending library in the olden days and you pick out the videotape that you want to play back, and it just sort of happens. And you're a pretty passive player, really, in that process. But as I learned more about how the brain works and how the neurons fire and how much of an active process it is, I realized that we actually have a lot more power over how we build and how we use our memories, and that we do get to play a huge part in this. So that once we have created these memories, we have an evidence bank or a memory bank, and we can actually go back into that bank and use it to our advantage. So in the case of positive memories, we can go back to really happy and really positive times. We can drag those experiences from the past into the present, and we can actually experience them with the same levels of emotional joy, the same resonance, the same powerfulness that we did when we were experiencing them for the very first time at an earlier point in our lives. And often people look at happiness as something that's going to happen to them in the future. Whereas actually we can turn that on its head and think that while the future is uncertain, we do have a pool of happiness memories, things that have already happened to us in the past. And by choosing these and carefully curating those memories, we can actually impact on how we feel in our present. Whereas, as I said, the future is less certain, no more so than right now in 2021. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we can use things from our memory arsenal that will help us. And yes, of course, our memories are also filled with difficult times, with challenges, and so on. But I am talking about this as a tool for building you up, building up your mindset, and utilizing this skill, particularly in your business, is really, really valuable. It's not about rose tinting or pretending that difficult times don't happen, but it is about using what we've got, using what is already in our brains and that we can call upon in times of need, when we want a confidence boost, when we want a boost of joy. And this can be really, really useful, especially in today's challenging times. So I'm going to start by telling you a story that doesn't directly relate to business. It's a story about humans. It will tie in at the end. And as I said, this is a slightly different episode to normal. So indulge me and enjoy listening to a short story. So it's a story about my husband and a friend of his. You don't know my husband, or not many of you do. If my sister's listening, hello, Alice. And that's okay. That's kind of relevant as well. And I'll talk about that at the end. But it's a story about my husband, Ross. And when he was at school and about 11 years old, he had a really, really good friend called James. And they got on really well, really, really well. They were super close, and they were set to go off to the local secondary school together in Wales, in Chepstow. And instead, Ross ended up winning a music scholarship to Monmouth School, which was a public school a little bit further away. And the friendship was separated because he went off to Monmouth on the bus every day and James went off to the local comprehensive. It's something that Ross and I have talked about over the years, that he missed his friend, that it was a source of regret for him that that friendship was lost or dissipated over the years, and that he didn't have that friendship in his tween and his teenage years because they lost touch, as, you know, 11, 12, 13 year olds would be likely to do. And recently, in the past 10 or so years, these men now have become connected on Facebook, but not in a way much more than happy birthday and the occasional message by messenger, a hello or congratulations on the birth of your child, etc. So about 4.5 years ago, we moved back as a family to the West Country from London. And about 2 years ago at Christmas, I think it was 3 years, I'm losing track, Ross said to me that he wanted to go to Cribbs Causeway, which is a mall in the local area, because that is how he wanted to do his Christmas shopping. And, you know, to me, that is hellish. I hate going to the mall at Christmas. I'm not a massive fan of the mall at any point. I prefer independent shops and online shopping and so on. But I said, yep, sure, off you go. And he had a very unusual day off on a Tuesday. Usually his non-working day is Friday, which is when I often utilize the morning to night childcare and get a lot of my work done. But for this week, he had taken Tuesday off for some reason. There was something to do with his job that meant Tuesday was the day that week. So I said, go off, take your time, and I will deal with the children. I will balance my work around them. This was pre-COVID, when it was a much more innocent time. And I thought, you know, hopefully he'll have a really productive afternoon. This was a few weeks before Christmas. He'll get a lot done. And I called him on his way back, so a couple of hours later. And I said, how was it? How much did you get done? And he told me he had not bought a thing, but he had had a coffee. So I took a deep breath, because I was thinking, hang on, I was running around trying to do my work, doing the ballet, doing the school run, doing all the other things that you could have supported me with. And you were just on a bit of an indulgent for the, you know, 20th of December on a coffee date on your own, having some free time. So then Ross explained further what had happened and started to tell me quite an interesting and quite a moving story. He had gone to John Lewis, which is a big department store for anyone not in the UK, and he had started looking at the Sonos speakers, which is something we talked about getting each other as presents this couple of years ago, this Christmas, 3 years ago. And he'd begun to look at all the options and felt a bit overwhelmed and bamboozled by it all. And he had suddenly spotted a young man coming towards him and thought, oh no, here we go. I'm going to end up getting even more confused by someone who's going to have this technical knowledge that I don't have. And as he looked up to the man in front of him, he realized that it was his friend James, who he had not seen for almost 30 years. And even though he hadn't seen him for 28 or so years, they both instantly recognized each other. That was James, you know, that was James before him. And for him, he recognized that that was Ross. And they were both really shocked and couldn't believe this had happened. And what was strange as well was that James was working as an area manager for Sonos, but was very, very rarely in store. So this was a real coincidence that he was there at the same time as Ross, that Ross had chosen this one day of the year, this one random Tuesday, unusual day off, to go to the mall and to go to that shop. So one of them suggested that they forget what they were doing and they go and get a coffee in the mall. And off they went to get a coffee. They had a really fantastic conversation about a lot of the subjects that Ross and I had been talking about recently to this event happening, and also in the far past, about this lost friendship, about the really close play friendship that they had, how they remembered playing toys together. There's real detail in terms of those memories and how it was really important to them that they had been separated, how it had been quite a fundamental issue for both of them. He said James told him that he used to shake his fist when he went in the car past the turnoff for Monmouth School. And Ross said he had felt really similarly about Chepstow Comprehensive, saw it as a kind of beacon of taking away his friend. And they were laughing that they'd had this kind of similar reaction to having been separated at such a young age. And as a result of this lovely meeting, some really nice things occurred. So we all met up as families with James's wife and his children. He has two small children, we have three. Those children ended up playing together with the same vintage toys that we have in our home that Ross and James used to play with when they were younger. So it was a really amazing moment for these two men grown up with their own families to see their own children playing with toys that they had played with themselves, which had given them so much joy, and that fast, fantastic connection was kind of going down the generations. So, you know, it was just a really positive experience. And it was also a positive experience for me personally. I did really well out of this because we got a half price Sonos. No, you know, if you've looked them up, they're very expensive. So half price is a very good saving. But I'm joking, because it was a wonderful experience for me too, because I saw the joy and I heard the joy in Ross's retelling of this story and of, you know, the happiness that this spread all around. And an ongoing friendship has been struck up again. They've kept in touch, and we will hopefully see them again as a family when COVID restrictions are released. So if you're wondering why I'm telling you this story, then it's because I find it moving. I find it fills me with joy. And when my husband told me, he explained it and described it with a high degree of emotion and pure happiness, really, about what had happened. And even when he was talking to me, and now when I'm talking to you, I am feeling those emotions again, and I'm not feeling a watered down version of those emotions. I'm feeling the same emotions because I'm recreating that same thought process, that same memory, that part of my brain, and I'm remembering why it was important to us, to me, and even more so to my husband and to James in the first place. And even more interesting, when I'm talking to you about it, hopefully you might be feeling some semblance of that emotion, some semblance of that joy, even though you don't know anyone in the story, because you're able to tap into the moving nature of this very small, everyday story of connection and joy. And I really think that is so powerful and explains and illustrates to you how we have this amazing ability to emotionally time travel, and that we have the chance to go back to good times, beneficial times, lovely memories, and use them for our present benefit. We are absolutely able to go into the past and pick out favorite moments and use them again, bring them back to life at any given time. And what's interesting is we do this naturally, usually when we're in company. So we're usually able to do this with old friends, with colleagues, when we meet up with family. We remember good times. We remember shared experiences that were amusing. We retell classic stories that make us feel a certain way. I have a group of friends and we always revisit, or often revisit when we're together, this one time where we had a little bit too much to drink and we went to the supermarket late at night on a weekend away, and it was just mad and we felt, you know, giddy and crazy, and we threw loads of things in the supermarket, spent hundreds of pounds and were starving and a little bit, you know, carried away with the event, and we always remember those amazing times. But we can often not use this skill and this superpower so well for ourselves and on an individual basis, because it's something we don't often do intentionally with our own stories. And yet it really is as simple as remembering and as recreating and retelling and dwelling in a very positive way on good times and savoring them, really. And this is something we can intentionally use for our businesses. I've talked to clients about this many times in the past. We can use our brains and our positive experiences, the times when we've overcome, when we've achieved, when we've excelled, to give ourselves a boost of an emotion that is going to help us in the present moment. We can choose a time in our lives when we felt really proud of ourselves, when we felt really happy, when we had a sense of purpose, and when we felt like we were the real deal. And we can return to that and emotionally create it and use it as a tool against imposter syndrome, as a tool against fear of failure, as a tool against feeling like we haven't got things under control. We can go back to something that feels certain in our minds, and we can absolutely recreate it. We can do this by writing, by thinking and processing quietly, by audio recording, you know, recording onto your voice notes app, retelling something where you did really well, and also talking with friends, which is really lovely in these times of difficulty of connection, because it brings in that social element too. But in terms of what we do on our own, when we use that power, when we find it in those moments, we are able to supercharge our self-esteem and give ourselves inspiration for the tasks that we have to do going forward. So the big moments, the small moments, the taking up space and being more visible, they can all be tackled by looking at times when we have overcome, when we've been courageous, when we've been daring, and when we have really been able to show up as ourselves and recognize that. And sometimes it can take a bit of digging to find those moments, but I'm sure that you have them. And I sometimes talk to clients about going back to a former version of themselves. I had a client who once told me about when she lived in Barcelona and she felt like she was queen of the world. She felt so free. She felt so filled with confidence. She remembers walking down the street feeling taller. And I used to say, go back to the Barcelona version of you. Go back to that. Remember what that was like and how you can recreate it in the moment now, even years and years on, because you have the power and the ability to recreate that sense, that feeling, that emotion in the here and now. And it can be massively beneficial to your mindset, to your performance, and to how you feel about yourself. It's a huge win-win, and I really recommend that you try this technique because it can be really game-changing in terms of lifting your mood and in terms of allowing you to show up as that most excellent, most empowered, and most confident version of yourself. So I hope that you have found this episode entertaining. I hope you liked my story time in the middle, and thank you for bearing with me till the end because I know it was a slightly different style than usual, but I really wanted to talk to you about it because I find it one of the most powerful tools that I use with my clients and something that I use myself. So thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to click in the link about the new masterclass, which is the 10th of February at 7 p.m. GMT. And also, if you want to go straight to a clarity call, the link is also in the show notes as ever. That's calendly.com/Lucy Orton. And I would love to talk to you about how I work with awesome female purpose-led entrepreneurs like you and how we move away from self-sabotage and transform you into that successful, empowered CEO and business owner who loves what they do and knows that they are amazing at it. So until next week's podcast episode, I send you all lots of love and support in these crazy times, and I wish you a very good week. See you next Wednesday. Bye.